We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. You guys are burning up the stream chat. You're burning up the text line. And I want you to keep it coming. We are talking Georgia has just passed their NIL law, which will go into effect July 1st. Their law says that players, athletes at universities can earn money based on their name, image, and likeness. But 75% of that money can be taken by the school, put back into an escrow account, and then distributed to other athletes who were not able to make money on the NIL laws in order to even out the system a little bit. And you guys feel very strongly in both camps, did Wes hold through, Lonzo? Take that as a yes, maybe. Let's bring Wes in here.
Yes, I'm nodding, but, you know.
Oh, gotcha. Your video froze up. All good, no worries. Let's get Wes in here. He wanted to check in, give his thoughts on what we're talking about. Wes, thanks for taking a minute. Great to have you back on the show, bud.
Hey, Rob. I agree with Lonzo. I think this is a stupid law. You shouldn't get paid. I mean, you're getting your tuition for free. Now, my reasoning is, like you said, if you go out and you get paid for your facial appearance, you're already a professional. You're a professional radio announcer.
Yeah, some would debate the word professional, but I appreciate it.
Well, you are. You're getting paid for your career. And you were under a contract. But the thing is, an 18-year-old who does sign a contract with a university or a college or whatever, and once they start paying him, then he should not be able to play college ball.
But wait, real quick time out, Wes. You just argued that these players are getting paid via scholarship and room and board and food and all that stuff. So if that is payment, aren't they already by definition professionals in that case?
No, the only reason is because you can get an academic scholarship without playing sports at all. You have an athletic scholarship, academic scholarships. So, I mean, the problem is these guys are under the tutorage of coaches and assistant coaches that work for the university. So they're still honing their skills.
And you're not allowed to make money. So here's the thing. The athletes aren't getting paid for playing football or basketball or soccer or hockey or whatever sport we're talking about. The athletes are getting paid by being who they are and then taking what they have done to earn recognition and profiting off of that elsewhere, right? So when Rob Brown, and yes, I understand the argument that they are amateurs, right? But if your argument is they're already getting paid via scholarships and all that, right? You're considering that their payment. That makes them professionals. They are getting paid. Now, you can say provided if we want to play semantics, and I understand that, Wes. But my question is, if the market calls for it, right, which right now it appears to be. These states wouldn't be signing laws if the market wasn't calling for it. If the market says that as the starting left tackle, or hell, the backup defensive tackle for South Carolina, if they have another party that says we want to pay you X $100 a month just to show up and be you, it's not that the university is coming out of pocket, right? You as the taxpayer who has taxes going into the post-secondary education system, that money's not coming from you, Wes. That money is coming from a private business that says we want to give this person money to show up and endorse our business. That's what these NIL laws say. Why are you against, if the market is there for it to happen, why are you against them making a few extra hundred or hell, maybe $1,000 a month on their own name, image, likeness, which, by the way, yes, they're under the tutelage of coaches, but it is their hard work, their talent, and their commitment to their sport that has put them in a position to make that money. Why are you against it in a free market?
I'm against it still because if they just want to put their likeness out there and make money on their likeness, then become a model.
But that's the thing. They're not famous because they're models, Wes. They're famous because they are football players or basketball players or soccer or hockey or gymnastics in some schools. That's what they do, right? And if they want to take that money. All right, so here you go. Here's an example. EA Sports is reintroducing the NCAA franchise on the video game system this year, right? And in order for that to be successful, they want to be able to put players from rosters into the game. So EA Sports is going to profit from, pick a player, Luke Doty. EA Sports is going to profit from Luke Doty being in this game. All the folks that invested in that game are going to profit from Luke Doty being in that game. The University of South Carolina is going to directly profit by licensing their stadium and their jerseys and their name and all that. They are going to profit off this game. The only person who's not going to profit is the guy that's actually in the game. He's the only one that's not allowed to profit. Why can't he get a cut when EA Sports gets a cut, when the sponsors get a cut, when the university gets a cut? Why should Luke Doty not get a cut?
Well, all right. Now, this is because I don't play video games, but this is where you got. Now, on the video games in college, on the NCAA sports video games, I know they may use the guy's number, but do they actually have his name on the back of the jersey?
They don't, but come on, Wes. I am a video game player. When I log on, and last year, well, they didn't have a game last year, but if they had an EA Sports 2K game out last year, and I selected Ohio State to play, or I selected Clemson, when I selected to play with Clemson last year, and on the field is QB number 16, and he's tall, and he's got blonde hair coming out from underneath his helmet, you and I both know that's Trevor Lawrence. And even if it's not his name, it is absolutely his likeness, which is why name, image, and likeness have all three been included in this law.
Well, I can't fight you on that one, but I do know one thing. I do have a Clemson Tigers jersey from back when Woody Datsler played for him.
Okay.
It's got the number one on the jersey, but on the back of the jersey, it does not have Datsler.
And why did you pick that particular jersey to purchase, Wes?
Well, it was the only one they had.
Okay, all right.
And it was just because it said Tigers.
All right, I will tell you, and Wes, I appreciate the phone call. I appreciate the call. I got to get one more in here before we take a break. I know when I went to school, when I was in college, I bought a jersey from my school. And I bought it specifically because it had the number of my favorite player at the time. All right, specifically because it was the number of the running back that I loved watching play football. The university got money out of that. The store that sold it got money of that. The only guy who didn't get money was the guy who sold me that jersey by being himself on the football field. That's what they're trying to compensate for. Michael is on the line. Let's get Michael in here to talk a little bit about this before we take a break. We got Zoe's Fight Club coming up in the next segment. Michael, welcome to the show, bud. Great to have you. Thanks for taking the time.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Sure thing.
That fella got money because of the benefits he gets to the university by playing for that university. But my point would be, like, I'm not against players making money. That's name image like this is fine. What's the problem is there's like a labor market, there's a corporate market. And, of course, the corporate market wants to make more money, so they want to get involved. But the labor market is not calling for this because nobody is not using the university system to go pro. And we're allowing 1%, 2% of the players to change the entire system. That works. They're not going out. There's two ways to get an NFL if you're Trevor Lawrence. You can go to Clemson and benefit from all the coaching and all the training and all the prestige and all that from Clemson, and you get to go pro. Or if you're that good when you're 18, like an NBA player, you could just go play. You could just go train. You could go train for a year and pay for all that. But they don't. They go through the university system because they're right. It's the best thing. And we're changing it for a very small reason. Now, if the NCAA needs to change the rule, that's fine. I'm all for it. Change the rule. But you're getting state government, and in turn, it will be federal government, involved in college sports. In the history of their involvement in pretty much anything, it's very bad. It doesn't end the way – it's always unintended consequences that they can't control. They're not good at multivariable equations. And now we're getting them involved to solve a system that's not broken, that works for almost everybody that's involved in it. And nobody is going outside of that system to get to the same goal.
That's a good argument. And I'm not disagreeing with you. I absolutely think that there are not a huge number of athletes that are going to be directly impacted until – you have Georgia go out there and say that 75% of the revenue taken in by, let's say, the top handful of football players that make it gets redistributed to the rest of the school for the swimmers and divers and the track and cross-country teams that don't make any money. And I think that is why Georgia put this into play. I don't think it is a fundamental restructuring of the NCAA. In fact, I would argue the NCAA is still going to operate the exact same way that it does. To me, the only people that are impacted here are the players themselves who get to use their face to make some money.
I think it's just going to start off with the road to hell is paved with good intentions. It's going to start off trying to do the right thing, and then it's going to end up in a place where nobody expected it, and it's just not good. It works now. It works fine. And the amount of money, like I said, they get scholarships. They get this. The amount of money, if you calculate, go calculate all the coaches' salaries, calculate the training, calculate the facilities, divide that by 100 kids. It's $100,000 a year per kid. Just for any kid that's on that team is getting $100,000 worth of coaching, training, nutrition, weights, all that, on top of what they get in room and board.
Well,
to say that they're not compensated is just – and the only reason – that Trevor Lawrence jersey sells is because it's a Clemson jersey. Now, it sells for more because it's Trevor Lawrence, but it sells because it's got Clemson on it.
But here's the thing, Michael.
The value that is provided to that player from the school is very high.
Right, but here's the thing. The school still has the option. Let me phrase that. The state still has the option, and I'm going to be interested to see if any schools challenge these laws, right? But the state still have the option to go, you know what? No, we're giving you $100,000 in coaching and room and board and food and lessons and preparing you for life and school and all that. The states and the schools can still say, no, we ain't doing that. And then just take the risk that the best players decide to go elsewhere. It is not, it is going to be interesting to see if it is mandated school by school, whether or not they elect to buy in. My assumption is going to be if you don't buy in, you're going to start losing out on recruits, and that's where you get to opt if you want to gamble on that market or not.
Just between the 50 states and the federal government, we just added 51 more opinions to the NCAA, which is already a quagmire in general. We would deal with anything they deal with.
That part, we're on the same page. Michael, appreciate that phone call. It was a good one, man. Thank you very much for chiming in. 844-GSP-ESPN. Quick spin through the text line. Couple of texts that have come in at ESPN. Listening to boomers like Wes stumble through half a thought out back of a back in my day opinion is painful. End quote. at ESPN. Let the under-the-table handshakes continue and worsen, since no one wants to share their wealth. Play rich will continue to get richer. This doesn't solve anything. Yeah, those under-the-table. Will we agree on this point? The top tip, top tip, tip, top tippity top players in college football, they've already been getting paid. They've already been getting $500 handshakes. Who was it? What was it? Was it Les Miles a number of years ago? One of the coaches in the SEC a number of years ago actually said at one point, yeah, there's $100 handshakes that take place on these recruiting trips all the time. I think this is a way to try to effort, at least a step in the direction of trying to regulate that shady side.
Well, as far as that goes, that will never go away as long as there are boosters and handshakes.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
And I've witnessed it firsthand, even on a Division III level. Sure. So it's definitely not going away.
All right, a couple more texts that have come in so far.
Let me clarify real quick.
Yeah.
I didn't get one of those handshakes. I saw somebody else get it.
Lonzo, the tip-tip-tippity-top of college athletes to this day, ladies and gentlemen. At ESPN, let me try to get these right, because they come in in chunks, so sometimes we've got to kind of try to figure it out. At ESPN, Lonzo is correct. Do away with scholarships and pay the kids and let them pay for school. Rob, yes, you should take the higher-paying gig in radio, and that is why states and colleges should not be allowed to buy athletes with carefully constructed endorsements. And it fell apart after that, but I get the direction you're going in. At ESPN, a lot of these kids will be getting in trouble with taxes with name, image, and likeness. Most will not know what to do or how to handle it unless they endorse CPA firms, LOL. At ESPN, Zoe, this one's for you. As much as I hate to agree with Buckeye Zoe, he is right on this one, but Justin Fields still sucks.
I really appreciate that text.
At ESPN, Zoe, you didn't explain anything. You just keep saying the same thing over and over again. You sound like a grumpy old man, end quote.
I think it's an accurate depiction of me on most days.
At ESPN, listen to Lonzo with, well, technically, no, you just got schooled, buddy. These kids, 100000000000% have the right to make money off their image and likeness, end quote. At ESPN, what state is that law in that's so blanking dumb? If you're not good enough to get a sponsorship, then you suck, end quote. At ESPN, you know there will be companies that will offer a starting quarterback at Georgia $100,000 or more for that advertisement, so it may be worth it to the person at that point, end quote. And at ESPN, is there a cap of how much they can earn in Georgia? I did not see that reported on up front, but I will tell you that I do have a copy of the law, and I will be reading it in its entirety afternoon.
That's the thing. Without a cap, then all of a sudden there's competition everywhere. Well, we don't have a cap here, or our cap is this high, your cap is that high. Then suddenly someone complains, one state complains about another state to the government, then the government comes in trying to regulate. That's how this thing ends.
You may not be wrong. I'm not typically one for slippery slope arguments. I don't think that's a slippery slope. I think that's a pretty solid one. All right, we're going to come back to that later on, and I'm sure we will have intense discussions about it tomorrow. Coming up next on the show, your home for all things combat sports, Lonzo takes us through Fight Club next on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome to the Fight Club, where we talk all things squared circle, which makes no sense, but that's okay. We're okay with that. We are down with that. We also talk about the octagon, which is all closer to a circle, but it's still not a circle. It's rounder than a square, though. Lots of things to...
They call it a circle because wrestling used to... Like, Greco-Roman wrestling takes place in a circle, but then they put a square around it, right? That's always been my assumption.
Yeah, well, high school wrestling still is in a circle.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, yeah. Like, Greco-Roman wrestling is still in a circle, yeah. Even at the college and pro level.
It still doesn't make any sense.
But then pro wrestling put a square around it, so it is a squared... It should be squared, the squared-in circle?
Or the... The circle that's been squared. I don't know.
The circle gets the square.
Yes, it does. Don Knotts for the tie. All right, so let's get into this. First of all, I want to talk about something that happened last Friday, and I don't know if you saw this, but I thoroughly enjoyed one of the best matches I've seen in a long, long time. We're talking WWE. We're talking SmackDown. Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns. One of the best matches I have seen in a really, really long time. And my question for Rob is, was this the last time we see Daniel Bryan in a WWE ring?
Not a chance, but...
His contract is up, supposedly.
His contract is up. I don't think there's any chance he signs anywhere else on a long-term contract. But here's what I could see happening. Because we have seen, if you have been following... a pretty successful crossover between Impact and AEW, New Japan and AEW, New Japan and Impact. We have seen those three companies get crossover events going. In fact, John Moxley has a IJGWP championship match against a New Japan wrestler coming up. Kenny Omega now holds the belts for both Impact and AEW. What I could see, though, is Daniel Bryan being the first WWE wrestler in a long time who negotiates a contract that allows him to wrestle for other companies and see WWE perhaps dip just the toe into the shallow end of crossover. Now, I don't think they will commit to it like Impact, and I suspect that they wouldn't let Daniel Bryan do it more than once or twice, and they would demand a ton of promotion from the other company. But Daniel Bryan probably is one of the few guys that has the star power to go to WWE and say, here's the deal. I want to be here, but I want to be able to wrestle cross promotion and have Vince maybe for the first time give a little bit of flexibility and go, okay, we want you here, so we'll make that happen. Because if he doesn't, Daniel Bryan could sign a huge contract with Impact or with AEW and has a lot of hardcore fans that would follow him over to that promotion.
All right, so if you've been listening to the show today, you probably believe that Rob and I are not on the same wavelength ever. But my next question was, who would you like to see Daniel Bryan wrestle in the AEW?
Who would I like to see Daniel Bryan wrestle in the AEW? Darby Allin would be tops on that list. Him and Miro have a match next week if he's healthy after the attack he suffered.
He got thrown down stairs.
He really did, and he sold it too.
Yeah, he did.
It looked like it hurt. Darby would be up there on my list. Tell me Daniel Bryan and Orange. Then again, I think Orange Cassidy could put on a great match with just about anybody.
Well, we're going to get to Orange Cassidy here in a minute.
I'm sure.
You want to see him go up against Kenny Omega or something.
I'd be good
like
with that.
Yeah, because I think that would be an excellent match, and it would be very technical, and it would be an awesome thing to see. But I like your idea about Daniel Bryan renegotiating and allowing that to happen. But will Vince allow that to happen? I don't know. And Daniel Bryan is also he's there's several articles out there where he's talked about how he would like that model to happen, that he would like to be able to wrestle people from other organizations. So we'll see if that happens. All right, let's move to NXT real quick. NXT, they got better this week. It's like they took a couple weeks off and was like pacing themselves. This week they got better. Their bookends, the first match and the last match, were really good. Swerve versus Leon Ruff in the Falls Count Anywhere. Leon Ruff is very flexible. That's all I got to say. I mean,
he took some bumps.
Yeah,
too.
He did. He landed on his head a couple of times. It was like, whoa, that had to, I mean, look at, but he's like Gumby or something. I mean, he looks like a rubber band man the way he gets thrown around, but he gets back up. So that's a good match. I like Swerve having his entourage.
Yeah.
I don't think an entourage like that. It's like a rapper's entourage to a certain degree. We haven't seen that, really.
It's an entourage that makes sense, right? It's not like a force. We see a lot of forced entourages. It makes sense for Isaiah to have it and for them to get involved the way they did. I thought it was a great match. I'm interested to see where it goes, because after, you know, here's the thing. A couple of weeks ago when Leon attacked Swerve, he kind of went from being a pure babyface to kind of being a tweener, right? Swerve is still the bad guy. But Scott being willing to jump Swerve and attack him like that kind of makes him a tweener. You got to think he's not going to let that feud go at this point.
Yeah. Ciampa and Thatcher versus Grizzled Young Vets was a good match. Grizzled Young Vets, they just brought them over to be, to lose, unfortunately. And those guys are really, really good. I'd like to see them win some matches. Also, Mark Ryan defeated Jake Atlas. Let's see. Cameron Grimes went to the club and learned a valuable lesson. Don't buy the booth, buy the whole room.
Everybody's got a price for the $1 million man.
Thanks to Ted DiBiase. Man, I hope that thing never
just
ends.
Give me Ted DiBiase mocking Cameron Grimes for the rest of my life.
Don't be surprised at some point if To the Moon doesn't show up in the Fight Club intro.
By the way, to that point, though, I've tried to think of wrestlers that have brought me from really disliking their character to all the way around to being squarely in their corner. And I don't think anybody has more than Cameron Grimes right now.
Well,
like, really, I didn't like him. Not as like what I like him as a heel. I just didn't like him. I had no interest in him or his character or his matches. And now when you told me when I was watching on Wednesday during the show that there was a second Cameron Grimes segment coming on, I was like wanting to fast forward through good matches just to get to that.
And I can't blame you. I've liked him from the beginning, but it's because, and he's going to figure it out eventually, but he looks like if Cole Bryson grew his hair long. And it's him. You think about it. Think about it. You put Cole and him side by side and give him long hair and a hat, Cole would look just like Cameron Grimes.
You know, I've yet to meet our buddy Cole.
Oh, so you haven't seen him before? Well,
no.
Just think Cameron Grimes with his head shaved and no beard, and that's Cole Bryson. Also, the women's tag team match between The Way and Shotzi and Ember, we have new tag team champions. Enjoyed that. Those kind of street fights, you know, you're used to seeing the guys do it, but then when the girls do it, a lot of times they're tentative, except on NXT.
They got nasty.
Yeah, yeah. On NXT, they get that way. I've seen ladder matches like between Asuka and I think it was Nikki, and some where it's just downright whoa. When they get up to the main roster, they seem to back it off a little bit, and that's just crazy.
Shotzi coming off of the lighting stand. I mean, she had to be 9-10 feet up in the air and laid out a table shot. They put on some good stuff. And on top of that, I mean, it wasn't a swerve ending. I didn't expect them to win, right? I mean, they've had this fight multiple times. Ember and Shotzi have won it multiple times. In fact, when that match started, I'm like, oh, God, like, that's the one mistake WWE makes too much for me, is it's like you watch Raw, it's like you'll have four Raws in a row with the same match over and over and over, same two guys and gals getting at it. They pleasantly surprised me by taking a match that had been good a couple of times and making it really good.
All right. I would say I hate to go all wrestling, but we only have so much time. So we're going all wrestling. Let's go to AEW Blood and Guts. You notice AEW.
It's the second best root beer.
Yes. Well, I don't know.
Second best root beer. Bart's root beer is the best, hands down.
I do like that. But, you know, I'm kind of partial to AEW just because back in the day I used to drink it all the time. So anyway, AEW Blood and Guts, they label their episodes sometimes, which makes them sound like pay-per-view. So you go in with expectations of it being pay-per-view-like, and this was, for the most part. There's a couple things early on that were okay, but the main event was the Inner Circle versus the Pinnacle. Before I get to that, though, I have a question for you. Who's the number one contender? Because I'm confused. Okay, last week on AEW, they were talking about that Hangman Adam Page was the number one contender, and then he lost to Brian Cage, I think it was. But now this week we find out that he wasn't really the number one contender because Orange Cassidy is the number one contender. There's a writing discrepancy there that bothers me because I don't understand who's really the number one contender. I'm okay with Orange being number one, but be consistent from week to week.
Yeah, I caught that too, and I was a little shocked. Like, I'm an Orange Cassidy fan, but I was a little surprised that he kind of came out of nowhere and was just named number one contender, but then they added another into the mix, so now we got a match that will lead to a number one contender, especially, Zoe. And I'll criticize when it's deserved, especially when your entire storyline on the women's side has been Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, pointing out how ludicrous the system is and pointing out the fact that she has had to work so hard to get to where she is in a number one contender's match. You know, honestly, I was a little intrigued by that. I wasn't a huge fan, but at the same time, it got Orange Cassidy into a champion. He's not going to win. Omega's still going to hang on to it for a while. I suspect at some point we'll see Moxley turn around to get his belt back from Omega. But I got to tell you, man, as much as I'm good with your criticism there, I have enjoyed the Callis, Good Brothers, Young Bucks, Omega angle.
Yeah, that's what a heel faction should be.
Oh, absolutely. As of right now, I don't see how they beat. I mean, it's not a full-on invasion storyline, right? It's not a full-on invasion storyline. But it's almost getting to the point where it looks like you're going to have to create an AEW response faction to clean the belts off of those guys.
Implosion usually is how these things work.
But that's predictable, right? That's boring. And if AEW falls into the same trap that WWE has fallen into, which is 90% of their feuds end in a completely predictable way, then it's like if you're going to give me predictable endings to matches, then I'll just go back to WWE where the production value is better.
All right, so let's talk about that the Blood and Guts match. Two rings put together. We got the steel cages. It's War Games, called something else, but that's what it is. You got two teams going against each other, two teams that hate each other. The overall match was great. I learned, listening to a podcast with Stone Cold Steve Austin, I learned what getting color is about, and that's when you get bloodied. There's a lot of color going on in the ring. There's blood everywhere to the point where near the end of the match, they were starting to slip and things like that, and it was causing some botches, and I hated that. The other thing is camera angles were not that good. I don't think you were talking about production value. They could take some cues from WWE with their experience at camera angles. And the other thing is, all right, it's trending, and it's still trending. Chris Jericho is trending right now. Chris Jericho, at the end of the match, gets thrown off the top of the cage. If there's a cage like this, someone's getting thrown off. I mean, if not, then you're not doing it right, because that's what you come to expect. He gets thrown off. People are mad that he didn't fall on concrete.
You know,
how bloodthirsty are these people? Yeah, there was padding underneath where he fell. He fell where he was supposed to fall, and it looks like he didn't get hurt. Good.
Matt Hardy got dumped on his head on concrete a handful of months ago and had to disappear for a while.
Yeah, he got tore up.
Yeah, concussion number 200 or something like that in his career. Look, there comes a point where with this stuff, there comes a point that you can't up the game anymore, right? You can't throw Jericho. Now, maybe you could have changed it and had him go through a couple of tables to make it look worse. And I'll be honest with you, though, the fact that it was so clear. I mean, look, the cardboard and foam he landed on was painted to look like diamond plate steel. All right, don't do that. Just make it look like a regular production.
Yeah, a lot of people are comparing it to the explosion.
Yeah, exactly. It's one thing. Like I can explain the, and I think I did explain the explosion away in a really good way. Like in a way that made sense in a story. Even if you didn't love it, it made sense in a story. I can't explain a steel plate floor that explodes and you can literally see the foam on the steel plate pieces, all right? You could have just made it a production floor and it would have looked just fine. That being said, fans got to chill out, man. Like, just, you can't expect Undertaker Mankind levels of shock value every single match. Guys were bleeding all over the floor. Come on. It is what it is.
All right, that's all. Yeah, that's all the time we have.
Quick break. Come back. One more segment. Very quick. And then Twitter trending topics to wrap it up on the Rob Brown Show. It's ESPN Upstate. All right, wrapping it up here before Twitter trending topics, text line, IBC root beer in the bottle is the best. And I'll take Rob on in a TLC match to defend the honor of IBC. Look, IBC is good stuff. I would rank it probably, I'd probably even go IBC second, but Barks root beer in the glass bottle is the goat root beer. It's the goat root beer.
Do you think, though, that it has to do with the glass bottle?
I think it does, because IBC... Barks out of the can is good. Barks out of a soda dispenser is solid. Barks in the bottle is clearly better than the other ones. And if you get the old school glass bottle, it's absolutely the best root beer of choice.
I'm not sure that it's still there, but there was an A&W restaurant which was split with
something
else.
There is. It's north of me on White Hampton.
But so there's another one. Okay,
yeah.
So that's pretty cool to go in there and they keep their mugs frosted. So I don't know if they do it there, but the one that I went to that used to be on 276 would keep their mugs frosted, and then you could get a root beer float in one of those, and those are pretty good, pretty tasty.
Yeah. Root beer floats are delicious. Barks root beer is the goat root beer for root beer floats, too. I stand by it.
What kind
I stand
of ice cream?
By it. Vanilla, man. I'm not a vanilla ice cream guy, my regular dessert, but in a root beer float, you just got to go vanilla, right? Because it matches the flavor of the root beer. Everything else, like the two flavors fight. Vanilla coats into the root beer the way
it's
supposed to be.
I think vanilla ice cream was made specifically for
floats.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'll eat vanilla ice cream if it's all you got with a little chocolate syrup. But vanilla ice cream was made for root beer floats. 100% correct. I would go Barks number one, IBC number two, and then 3, 4, A&W and Mug. You can flip back and forth with me. I'm not particularly
Mug,
fond
Mug
of
was,
either way.
I don't know. It's not sweet, but it's got something.
It's a more traditional sarsaparilla flavor.
Yeah, that's probably
it's
what
a more
it is.
Traditional root beer flavor. Doesn't make it better, though. Doesn't make it better. Things improve over time. Not me, but things. Quick break. Twitter trending topics to wrap up the show next on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
Here's what's happening on the internet. Let's see what Rob Brown knows about it. Topic number one is Schefter.
Shefty in the news was interviewed on the Dan Patrick Show, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And they asked about his, quote, decision, end quote, to break the Aaron Rodgers news on draft day. Dan Patrick asked him, why did you do that? And Schefter said, that is absolutely accurate, correct. It was nothing that morning that came out, or it was nothing that morning that then all of a sudden it came out to me and he wants out and you should report this. It was just an accumulation of information. Look, it was an accumulation for a reason. Aaron Rodgers knew what he was doing. He was putting a B-slap on the Packers on draft day, just like the Packers put a B-slap on him the year before on draft day by bringing in Jordan Love. Listen, Schefter didn't get played. That's just the game. He can only report it when he knows it for a fact, and Aaron Rodgers' team did a great job of holding that down to the moment it gave him the most leverage.
Yeah, but he also didn't say anything. Nobody came to him and said, hey, I represent Aaron Rodgers, or I am Aaron Rodgers, and I want out of Green Bay. Nothing like that happened. What he said was it was an accumulation of information over the course of the offseason, which could be construed as, well, Adam Schefter is talking out of his ass and he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, but Schefter's been pretty good about not doing that throughout his career. That's where he's gotten where he's gotten. He's a smart dude, and he's one of the few that doesn't rely on hot takes to get him where he is. I think that the news breaking about the head coach, about the GM, and about the owner of the Packers, well, the representative owner, all flying to California to stay with Rodgers, I think was the tipping point, and that news didn't come out until draft day. So I think it was a calculated risk by Schefter. I'm not mad at him for it. I mean, he can only play the game the way he plays the game, and whether you like it or not, teams and players understand how to work the news cycle to gain the leverage, and I think that's what happened.
Next up, Albert Pujols.
Albert Pujols back in the news today. I do not know why. I could not tell you why he is trending.
Albert is being released from his contract.
Being released. All right, I'm going to cheat and look it up on this one. The Angels announced today that the club has designated Albert Pujols for assignment. So they are releasing future Hall of Famer Albert Pujols, final year of a 10-year, $253 million contract. Look, the dude's a legend, but the Angels are a contender this year, and if he's going to be up there batting 150, that's a detriment for sure.
I remember 10 years ago when he got this contract thinking, oh my God, he's going to be old as hell when he finishes that contract.
Turns out, Diesel, you're good at sports radio. Because
next up, Giancarlo Stanton is trending.
Man, we are just killing it today on the random names popping up. Giancarlo Stanton is I'm cheating. I'm looking it up because I don't have any idea. I got nothing, Diesel. I don't know why.
Three hits and one run from four at bats at a Yankees Astros. So that's all it takes to trend these days.
I was going
to
say that's all.
He did his job.
well, here's the other thing, and I did cheat and look it up. He had a dinger against the Astros, a 117.3 exit velocity. Diesel, I believe that is close to being the velocity required for low Earth orbit of a baseball. That's going to do it. Thanks for Diesel for stepping in for Lonzo. Thanks, Alonzo, for all the hard work. Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. Offsides with Mark Ryan and Diesel is up next. Stay tuned for that back tomorrow for a Friday edition of the Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate. Later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.